time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, we back. Happy New Year. 1, 2, 3. That's what this shit is. Yeah. Oh, man. What's good, man? How you doing? Happy New Year.
I'm doing cool, man. Shit. It's all good. Kicking the year off. You know, easing into it. I didn't put no grand expectations on it. Didn't make no grand revelations or no shit like that. Just eased on into it, man. You know?
I hear that. Slow groove. I can dig it. You know? I hear you. I feel you. I'm similar. That enthusiasm up top, that was a little put on. But, it was good. It was good. You know, we kicking the pot off. But I feel you.
I'm just saying as far as, you know, how I'm dealing with it. You know what I mean? You get older, shit. You done did all of this. Gonna be my year, boy. This it.
You know,
I had a good year last year. It's one of them years where it was like, nigga, this was a great year, but it didn't jump off with this gonna be my year. It just rolled into that bitch.
Right.
Started that bitch with COVID. I started 2022 COVID positive. So, you know, I think by January 2nd, I was negative because I think I got it like the day, Christmas Day, Christmas night is when I first felt my symptoms. So, you know, I had to sit out the holidays for real and start the year just, you know, hey, the year started and I had to catch up to it.
Just happy to be in the year too. Exactly. Shit, that's when COVID was COVID. Yeah. I feel you.
So, you know, I'm here, we here, you know, niggas is alive, niggas is kicking, niggas got shit to talk about, got experiences, you know what I'm saying? And as long as we making experiences, shit, what we talking about? We ain't complaining.
Nah, there you go. Yeah, I feel the same way, man. It typically take me a little bit, not a bit, but you know, like I'm not in that old, new year, new me transformation that's played out a while ago. No, you know, look, that's you. You know what I mean? Do whatever it takes to build that momentum. I kind of just smooth into it. You know, I get around to the new year about the 3rd or the 4th, you know, whatever, whenever I went outside yesterday, did a little nice walk, a brisk walk around the neighborhood, a deep walk, and you know what I'm saying, ate pretty good, and you know, all of the shit that you're supposed to do. I even made on New Year's Day, I made black eyed peas and collard greens and the Negro superstition meal, That was it. I chilled out. I watched a lot of TV. I relaxed. But I feel good about the year. I'm excited about the year, but I'm trying to, really just plot it out. And not even just plot it out, but just, you know, pull triggers and things of that nature. And, I feel good. It's like the top of the year feels like going to work if you're not a morning person. You know, like, I'm gonna be with it after lunch. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here. You know, I'm here. I'm not trying to get fined. I'm not trying to lose my job. I'm looking at the emails. I'm maybe sipping some coffee. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't got a whole lot of chitter chatter. Not just yet. But after that good old lunch, things were changing. Motherfucker a little bit more sociable, you know, holding court at the water cooler, whatever it needs to be. But at this moment, that's where I'm at. It's still about 10 a.m. for me.
That's what's up. Hey, man, you got to groove how you groove, man. Shit, if you need there your you caffeine go. First, you know what I'm saying? Knock that down. If you just need to just settle in, shit. Ain't nobody tripping. I think after the whole pandemic and all that shit, people have changed the way they view all this shit. You know what I mean? Sometimes absolutely. That shit help me slow down my mind when it's like, oh shit, I gotta. Nah, you ain't gotta do a motherfucking thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Yeah, now that's the truth. That you is know? The absolute truth. So, yeah.
You know, you gotta take it how you take it. You know. Yeah. Shout out to my grandma. It's her birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy you know birthday. That's big.
And it's funny because the day we're recording, it's one of my father's mother. And then tomorrow, the day y'all hear it, will be my mother's mother's birthday. So happy birthday to the grandmas.
That was a nice umbrella shout out. Yeah. That's dope, though. That's
third
dope
and fourth.
Back to back. Know?
Yeah. It's wild. So funny because they're so different. They like polar opposites, but you know, they born right there next to each other.
Oh yeah, well, next to each other date wise, do they did they ever like kick it with each other, or they was kind of like, you know, every so often?
I wouldn't say kick it. I never seen them kick it, but you know,
okay, gotcha.
You know, but you know, they have collaborated on
okay.
On a situation, you know, they collaborate with us. I remember, you know, one time my pops was out in Cleveland, and he called back. It was spring break, and then he called back like, "Hey, y'all want to come to Cleveland?" And at the moment, we was going through like a little struggle situation because we was at my aunt's house, and I had a cousin who was teenage pregnant, and my aunt didn't really have no food in the crib, you know what I'm saying? So it was just like a jug of water and niggas looking at the TV. So I think I had like 60 something cent, you know what I'm saying, as a kid. I mean, you know, I'm probably like, you know, 12 years old. And right across the street was a Dunkin' Donuts and a Burger King, right across the street from the apartment.
Okay.
So I just remember going, you know, across the street. I'm looking up at the sign in Burger King, you know what I'm saying? And it's me and my sister that I got to worry about. So I'm like, damn, all right, we could get one cheeseburger. Because, you know, that's when shit was like 55 cents or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. We could get a cheeseburger and split it. And then I was like, okay, let me go to Dunkin' Donuts and see what my options is over there. And you look, damn, we might get two donuts. I think I went with the cheeseburger. We split it, and then we don't know what we was gonna do for the rest of the night. And then that call came in. Y'all want to come to Cleveland? We like, hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? And he basically, like, you know, he always be leaving you with some damn instructions and some. You got to fill in the blanks of this shit. He's like, all right, y'all find a ride to the airport. Like, find a ride to the
airport. at 10.
That's like 12 years old. He's like, shit. Oh, 12, so, of course, you could call your grandma. And then my grandma, my dad, mom, she don't drive. So she's like, why don't you call your other grandma because she drive. So they collaborated on the drop-off. Like, my one grandma packed us up. My other grandma picked us up. And then we got on out of there and went to Cleveland. That shit was like a Cinderella story.
In Cleveland, of all places. That's a beautiful thing.
But it was a ball out type of affair when we got there. You know what I mean? I think the lady he was up there to see, she had this house on the lake, on Lake Erie, like big ass house, like type of shit we ain't never seen before. The water splashing all up on the back of the house. You know, it was a whole thing. You know what I'm saying? We watched Scarface in the house on the Betamax. So, you know what I'm saying? She took my sister on like a little shopping and get your hair done excursion. It was a great ass time. It was show better than what the fuck we was dealing with.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
As a kid, though, I just wonder why, you know, like we were there in that apartment. Why we ain't just go back home? You know what I'm saying? Because we had food.
How far was back home?
I mean, shit. It was probably like a 30-minute drive. But again, you ain't had no real parent around.
Oh, well, there you go. That's probably the answer there.
A bus probably would have took about 2 hours coming from that area. But it was just like, man, we should have just took our ass home. She should, you know, like my pregnant cousin should have came with us because, goddamn.
Oh, so y'all were there kind of just some moral support for your pregnant cousin just to hold her down or
nah,
just
visit? Nah, my aunt invited us over. My aunt invited us over. You know, it's spring break. We like, okay, out the house, you know what I mean? Going over here, see what's happening.
Right.
And you know, she lived in an exotic part of town that we, you know, we ain't never really frequent. It's on the way to the beach, but before you get to the beach, it's like this area called Sanssouci or Sanssouci or some shit like that. But we got there and she wasn't even there. She over with her boyfriend. And it's just me, my sister, and my cousin.
That's interesting. How old was your cousin?
She was 17.
Oh, okay.
17 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, man. That was an experience. But it was trying to, like, the big shit was trying to budget that 60-something cents into something.
Yeah. Now, when you said that, it made me think of a few different things. Budgeted the 67 cents, talking about Burger King, talking about Dunkin' Donuts, talking about Cleveland. A bunch of shit then went past. You said it was you and your sister. Do you remember, and I haven't messed with Burger King in over 20 years. I don't fuck with Burger King. I think I've been public about that. But do you remember Burger Buddies?
No. I don't know if we had a Burger Buddy.
Oh, man. Burger Buddies, I guess they must have came out. I'm trying to figure out when they came out. It must have been in the 90s, but it was basically the answer for what you was doing, but a little out of your price range. For 99 cents, they got these little small little burgers that was like conjoined. They did like two burgers stuck together, and they sold them. Yeah, two sliders, and I guess if it was you or your sister, you could just break that shit in half. You got a slider, she got a slider. It was a beautiful thing. But I remember the Burger Buddies was the crazy situation.
Yeah, Burger King wasn't the shit in all places. And I know New York, they really don't do Burger King right. But the headquarters of Burger King was in Miami. So it was a different kind of Burger King down there. Especially if you talking about Willie Taylor Burger King on 54th, and they got one that was like the 12th Burger King ever made. That's on 7th Ave. Them motherfuckers still make good burgers right now today. When I was down there last year, it was late night. I stopped in there just on a humbug. That shit, they had fresh hot burgers, fresh fries. You know what I'm saying? They take pride in that shit.
Right.
But you know, New York, they ain't got no pride in their Burger Kings. That shit is just that might as well be a Greyhound station.
I would agree. I got food poisoning from Burger King about 20 some odd years. I mean, 25 years ago until that day. Yeah. I was on a date too. I was on a date when that shit hit. That shit, I was Earl and I was on the promenade. It was a nice situation. We was walking down a little promenade. It was nice and all of that. It was picturesque. You know what I mean? Like a movie. And then I just felt a little grumble. And it was one of those like, oh shit. And I tried to be smooth with my vomit, as smooth as you can be. I said, hold on, I'll be right back. I'm gonna just take a second and walk over here. She was like, what's going on? What's the problem? I was like, no, just don't follow me. What's going on? You know, she's trying to see what's what. I'm like, I'm throwing up, like, get out of here. Oh, I'm throwing up all shit. She's like, and I was like, yeah, this is what it is. Yeah. Fuck the whole vibe up. I don't know if there was a kiss at all. I'm not sure. I wouldn't blame Shorty. But ever since then, I was like, I can't fuck with Burger King. They tried to sabotage me. It was one time they had, like, maybe about 3, 4, 5 years ago, they had a free fries situation. And I was walking down 125th Street. I went in there. And I felt bad because that's probably the most committed I've been to almost anything is my fucking boycott of Burger King.
Right.
It felt like a bit of a relapse. I ain't give them no money. I just got these little free fries that I kept them moving. But, yeah, man, it came out in 89. I'm looking at it. The Burger King Buddies came out in 89. And to that point of what you said about Burger King, and I'll go a little further. I've spoken to people that are from, particularly actually from Florida, a couple people from Florida, but just from outside of New York City, or maybe even outside of New York. New York, like, and I've seen it in my own life, when you go to some of these fast food restaurants in the world, in the rest of the U.S., whether it's like, I feel like everywhere damn near outside of New York City, the fast food experience is a lot better. Because New York is just, we try and get you the fuck in and out. It is what it is. They opened up a Chick-fil-A down the block from me. And this is the first Chick-fil-A with horrible attitudes and bad service. Like, Chick-fil-A has a standard for, like, my pleasure. You know, all of that. Nah, not at this Chick-fil-A.
So this is in Washington Heights?
This is in the Heights, yeah, on 181st Street. That shit is. I was so excited to see it. I was like, oh, wow, Chick-fil-A. Man, I went in there. It's a few months ago. I went in there. First of all, the person takes your order while you online. So then by the time you get online, they should be ready with your order.
Right.
I gave homegirl my order online. We went through it. Boom, boom, boom. Got to where I'm picking up. They looking at me like, who is you? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm here to pick up my order. What order? I made an order back with homegirl over there. She like, she yelling at homegirl, hey, you took his order? I was like, who? Him. Did you take his order? I think so. Yeah, I think I took his order. Yo, what's going on? What's your order? Yo, you know what? What's your order? So then we go through the whole shit. It's just the whole thing. But hopefully they got their shit together. But yeah, tone wise, it does not match what's going on Chick-fil-A around at all.
Yes.
But yeah, like when I go out of town, I go to these little, you know, like these other cities and shit like that. Like that, it seems to be a little bit more pride taken in the fast food. Like that, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not as hurried and slapped together. Mm-hmm. It feels like they really architecting your little experience. They putting it together. Your fries are nice. Everything, you know what I mean? It's clean in there. Yeah. So. But yeah, so anyway, yeah, Burger Buddies would have helped you out.
Yeah, yes. I mean, New York fast food, one, you got a real estate crunch. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no parking lot and the drive through, and you know what I'm saying? That's out the window already. You know what I mean? You got all these people, and they, you know, they cram into these small spaces which takes away from the experience off rip. And I don't know what the fuck they be doing in the back. They just don't be giving a fuck. Like, nigga, shit, take this shit, go. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
Not saying that everywhere in the South is not like that. Because, you know.
Oh, there's some terrible spots down there, too. But it's more often than not.
You definitely
get a better experience.
You definitely get that type of vibe at the Popeyes now. City to city. Consistently. But. You know, the kryptonite is such that, you know, niggas gonna go anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of that, there was a thing on Twitter where they were asking who would win in a fight, Popeye's employees or Waffle House employees. It was interesting.
Waffle House.
You going Waffle House?
Yeah, I ain't never really seen Popeye's people fight. So I seen a couple videos. I seen they talk shit, though.
Yeah, they talk shit. I don't really see them getting it in. There's way more fights at Waffle House because there's a lot more drunk motherfuckers.
Late night. Yeah, it's late night. Yeah. Drunk after the club, coming in, everybody drunk and belligerent and hungry. So, it's a lot going on. Nobody want to pay for their food and shit, so let's start some shit.
Waffle House. Yeah, man. So there's that. And then I also thought, when you're talking about Dunkin' Donuts, I just went over Dunkin' Donuts just recently. You could have got 2 donuts for 60 cents back then. Yo, Dunkin' Donuts is almost $2 a donut now. And I hate to sound like that guy. Yeah. But I remember when Dunkin' Donuts was like, the donuts was cheap. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these is damn near getting up there to official... like, what would you call it? These artisanal donuts. They almost, they not as close to like dough or donut plant, but they not run-of-the-mill donuts no more.
They try. Remember they had the Cronuts?
Yeah, they tried to do a little Cronut. I'm surprised they didn't get sued for that.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they stole it from the man, but they definitely did a Cronut for a minute.
Yeah. You ever had a real Cronut?
No. I wasn't waiting in no line for shit, so.
Nah, but nowadays, well, I had a Cronut. I think maybe the first time I ever had a Cronut was in the pandemic, so there was no real line.
Oh, yeah, that was and late in the game.
Yeah, it was super late. I was well after the fact because I wasn't waiting in line for a donut either. But, yeah, you could do it online. You set up your time. You go down there and pick it up. Mm-hmm. And I gotta tell you, that shit was worth the hype. I'm not going to lie to you. That shit, well, years and years later, I was like, oh, I see. You know, I still wouldn't have been online.
The Cronut's still a thing.
The Cronut is still a thing. And what they do is every month it's a different filling. Dominic Ansel. Every month it's a different filling. And That shit's pretty good. That shit is actually really good. I'm trying to see what the flavor is this month while we doing this. But and then the other thing on some food shit in Cleveland, this is some late to the party shit. But you ever seen this? There was like this whole big trend on TikTok about a chicken salad. Mm-mm. You ever see this shit? So it was this black girl. She was at like a little deli in Cleveland. And it's so funny, the type of shit that go viral, but she was just like, yo, it's a chicken salad. It's from Imperial or some shit like that. She was just saying this shit is banging, you know, basically. But a homie, you know, was taping her or whatever. She was taping herself. She was like, oh, this shit is a good-ass chicken salad. You know, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. So reason I heard about it was because Google, and we talked about this a while back, I think, with TikTok, you know, the audio, sometimes you can make some money off of that. People use it, sample it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Google tried to buy it off of her just so I guess they could redistribute it or whatever, but they only offered her $500. Mm-hmm. So it was a big thing. She like went online. She was like, Google, you know, first she didn't want to say Google. She was like, this big corporation tried to offer me only X amount of dollars. She was like, fuck it, I'm going to say what the corporate was Google. You know what I mean? They tried to only offer me $500. And then, you know, the comments is going crazy. That's crazy. Google's bullshit. They should have gave you $100,000 at least. You know, everybody turns into a business manager in the comments. But I was like, I never heard about this. So I go to TikTok and I put in chicken salad. And like, I mean, everybody was flipping the chicken salad. Everybody, all types of celebrities or whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. Long story short, the place that she got the chicken salad from was in Cleveland and somewhere on Imperial or something like that. And it's like a real like hole in the wall spot. Like from what the people from Cleveland, like they like, that's where y'all going to get this chicken salad? All right, be careful. You know, that type of shit. But, like, it really blew up the spot, and then that was the other.
Oh, it's
the other.
That's down the way where my people from.
Superior. Yeah. Yeah, okay, not Imperial. Superior,
East
yeah.
Cleveland. I know about Superior. That's one of the streets okay. I have to frequent.
There you go. Because that's, and I think a lot of people thought she was saying the chicken salad was Superior. But she was saying, I got it on Superior, like, in the thing. But anyway. So, yeah, that was the other thing. They were like, yo, and the deli never broke her off. They ain't giving no money. You know how people, they always want to pick a fight in the comments. Uh-huh. But, yeah, that's all that ran through my head just as you were talking about. Yeah,
yeah, man. Back then, you know, shit was cheap, man, you know? Like, yeah. 99 cent didn't really come about until like, you know, probably like you said, 89, 87, 80, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. When, you know, the whole 99 cent. Other than that, you could get a couple of things for $1.50 back in the day. Because I remember, speaking of Cleveland, my cousin's pop, Uncle Nate, Nate used to take me on the bread. He used to work on the bread truck. He used to deliver the bread to the stores and shit. Mm-hmm. And so when he come through Huff, he'll come scoop me up, and then he'll take me to the stores all around East Cleveland, and then drop me back off. You know, mm-hmm. my aunt was his ex-wife, so he would take me. Boom, boom, boom. We'd do that. He'd give me $5, and then you know, 3 packs of honey. Honey buns and some, you know what I'm saying, some little, you know, the little sweets that come with the bread. Be like, hey, 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 get this to your auntie. Tell her I said hello. You know, that whole shit. You know what I'm saying? She love honey buns.
It only take that too. That's right. What it is. So yeah.
And, you know, my aunt, she was fine. She had a body. She was built up. She, you know what I'm saying? She would be like, you know, well, you know, she had one of them bodies people trying to build nowadays. So okay. I could see where he was coming from, but I was young, like, come on, man, I don't need to hear this nigga.
Right, right.
But
right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nigga pay me $5 every time he take me out. And mm-hmm. how I knew you could get enough stuff with $1.50. Because that $5, like say he come get me 3 times a week, uh-huh. that $5 will last me, you know what I'm saying, 3 days. You know what I'm saying?
Till he come back.
Till he, right. You know what I'm saying? So by the time he come back, I still have a, you know what I'm saying, a few little, you know, some change. And then he'll come get me again, and I'll be good. So that's when McDonald's had this game with the little scratch-offs on it. Mm-hmm. It was like a, you know how you scratch off lotto tickets?
Mm-hmm. This, wasn't that the Monopoly or something different?
It was like a Monopoly. Yeah, it was like the Monopoly shit, right? Uh-huh. And then you scratch them bitches off. So you be down there trying to win shit, too, with your little $1.50. Uh-huh. So that's how I know that shit was cheap back then. But that shit jumped up. You gotta spend real money to fucking, you got a family of 4 or 5, boy, go to McDonald's now. That shit ain't even no option. Like, shit. Yeah,
that shit is for real.
$40 for some shit. You got me fucked up.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out what the cronut flavor was for this month. I still can't find it, but it is what it is.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, man. That was a super tangent, but we out here. We having a good time.
Yeah. How was your New Year's, man?
My New Year's was very chill. It was very chill. I was at the crib, relaxing, kicking it. Watching movies and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing too crazy. The weather was kind of whack, so I ain't really... I don't really do anything much on New Year's anyway. I don't really go out. I don't like going out on New Year's unless it's like maybe like a house party or something like that. I don't need to be at a club. That's, you know, that's amateur night. And I don't really like to... You know what I mean? Because that's when they're going to get you heavy. That's when they're going to bang you over the head for the same club that was a whole different price last week and the week after. Plus, bringing in the new year around a bunch of random motherfuckers just feel weird. Right. So, I ain't do that. I just kicked it. I'm trying to think what was I watching? Nothing crazy that I could think of. I saw this movie. I'm not sure if I watched it on New Year's. I saw this movie called White Noise, mm-hmm. which I wanted to see. It's a Noah Baumbach movie, and I like Noah Baumbach. He did Squid and the Whale. Mm-hmm. He did Marriage Story. he's a good. I like his movies and shit. Mm-hmm. This is a weird ass movie. He's like a mumblecore kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Like he's been early mumblecore. This is a little mumblecore, but like elevated in the way of like cinematically, he was doing things with the camera that I've never seen him do before. Mm-hmm. You know, typically his shit is very grounded and, you know what I mean? Kind of like these little, like I said, mumblecore, quiet movies, well written, you know, good drama, that type of shit, funny at times, that type of thing. This, this was like quirky and weird, but like they had a budget, it looked like he mm-hmm. went big. He went like Nope, like how Nope had that Close Encounters look, like with these big type of vistas or whatever. There was like explosions
and
shit.
They had big vistas, but that them special effects, boy, they wasn't. Yeah, they didn't scream big budget.
Well, that the end with the little the villain or whatever the alien, that shit looked crazy. That looked like a fitted sheet with a wire hanger holding it up. That all shit right. was crazy. But a lot, everything else was like, you know, big sky and
right,
all
right,
that.
Right.
But this shit, some of the shots that he was doing looked like pictures. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they look like pictures, like, towards the, like, these little shots that he just set it up. Like, every shot was just like, damn, that shit was crazy. starred Adam Driver and Greta Gerwig and Don Cheadle. Mm-hmm. Old Andre 3000 is in it. And then it's just like a weird movie. It's basically about Andre Driver. He's a college professor who teaches Hitler studies, which is wild. Teaches Hitler studies. His wife, I don't know what his wife does. I don't know if his wife works at the, I'm not sure what his wife does. They got kids. But basically, it's the beginning of another semester at school. He's hanging out with all of his, like, professor buddies. And they, you know, they talking that real academia talk. Mm. You know what I'm saying? This takes place, like, in the, like, late, like the mid 80s and shit. So it's like a period piece in the 80s or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Don Cheadle with the fro, Dre 3000 with the fro. You know what I'm saying? They all talking that old, you know, smug intellectual shit. And it's some funny, but it's funny. You know what I mean? So they doing that. And then at the same time, there's like, it's based on a book by the same name, I believe. But basically, there's a dude driving like an oil rig who's drunk driving, you know what I'm saying? And he like swerving because he keep trying to grab his bottle of liquor, you know what I mean? That keeps rolling off of the passenger side seat. So he's dipping down while he got this fucking oil rig. Long story short, he wound up crashing into a damn train. Huge explosion. Boom. So now there's this big ass cloud. Everybody, you know, so now everybody's like pontificating what's going on in the cloud. What type of cloud is it? Is it a cloud? Is it an air mass? What's in it? Can it kill us? This, that, and the other thing, you know, because everybody is, these people are like academics. So everybody's just, there's a lot of worry and pontification. Well, what happened is, then they're like, yo, there's an evacuation. They evacuate. Then in the middle of the evacuation, they like, yo, everybody needs to get back at the crib. So it's like this weird shit that goes on. At the same time, his wife has been kind of like bugged out, you know. And the kids are just as quirky and weird too. Kids are like studied, like paying close attention to the mother, to the wife. Like, yo, she's still drinking. You know, this is the 80s. So like the anxieties are very dated. She's still drinking diet soda. You know that gives you cancer. You know what I mean? That type of thing. And she's eating gum, but it's the sugarless gum, and it's got the thing in it. And the moms are trying to eat her little. She's like, well, I can't smoke. I can't drink diet sodas. I can't have gum. And da 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 da. She's trying to like sneak gum on the low. And then they saying like she's forgetting everything. I think something's going on with her. Long story short, she's been kind of taking this little, I don't want to kill everything, but she's taking like an experimental drug, and one thing leads to another, and that comes out, and then it takes a whole nother turn, and it gets crazy. But what I will say that I liked about it, it's a weird-ass movie. It's probably not even one of his best. I watched it just because I fuck with him. I don't think it's one of his best, but what I will say, one, it's shot well. The grocery store plays a big part in the movie quite a bit. Like there's even like a whole, at the very end, there's like a musical number, not a musical number, but like a whole dance routine in the grocery store, whatever. Mm-hmm. But what I like about it was it was shot well. And you know, I like the grocery store in general, just always, you know, I take forever in the grocery store. That's like one of my things. I like to take pictures of, you know, shit that either I'm not gonna buy just because I'm trying not to eat bullshit. Mm. But the grocery store is also like a lesson in like mood lighting, colors, graphic design, all of that. And I thought he kind of captured a lot of that, especially in that 80s thing too, with a lot of these old school, like whoever did the styling, like they found the old, you know, the old boxes of stuff like that. And one of these things that I thought was real cool, I was having a conversation about this a while ago, that there is no longer, but do you remember back in the days in the grocery store, they used to have the no frills aisle where, mm-hmm. remember that shit where the whole aisle was like black and white, nothing had no colors to it. Mm-hmm. It was just cookies, milk, shit like that. So they had the little black and white, no frills aisle. I thought that shit was kind of cool. But that was it. Overall, man, it was one of these things that I watched. I was bugging out, you know what I mean? But, you know, that was part of my New Year's Eve.
I mean, I pretty much did the same shit, you know what I'm saying? Because I was, I went to New York to check on things. You know, my son wanted to see his friends before he went back to school. So I was in Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Wrestling with some pipes and some shit that need to be done that, you know, kind of went crazy. So I was doing all that kind of shit. So it was, you know, had a burst pipe. So, you know, brownstone heat run off a radiator. So I ain't had no heat. I was just in that bitch thugging it out, right? So I looked for something to watch New Year's Eve, and I came across this trailer for a Swan Song with Mahershala Ali, and I was like, you know, I like how he get down. I want to see what it's about. It looked like it was a beautifully shot, intense type of film. I was like, you know what, you know, black people don't get that kind of treatment often, so I want to see what it's about. So I plugged in, you know what I'm saying? And the shit was like, you know, on some Black Mirror shit. You know what I mean? And I fuck with Black Mirror. So essentially the storyline is, you know, he's a father, husband, you know what I'm saying? I think he's like a designer. You know, pretty smart dude, you know, clean cut guy, living a, you know, upper middle class type of life. But he's terminally ill and he's going to die. And, you know, I guess he had been approached. I forget how they plugged in with this particular doctor, but it's a doctor that's working on cloning motherfuckers and offering a service like, you know what I'm saying? Your clone could slide in. Your people won't even know you ever died. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so he was going through the process of the shit. And if you want to watch this shit, you might want to fast forward. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't want to fuck it up for nobody. You know what I'm saying? Just let it be known. You know what I mean? But
it's a slow burn. It's a slow burn, huh?
No. I fucks with the movie because, you know, like I said, so he's dying.
Oh, you mean they want to fast forward in the pod?
Yeah,
oh,
okay. On the pod. So it's on the movie. The spoilers. Oh, okay. No, the spoilers. Yeah. The spoilers. Not
go
the
ahead.
Movie.
You know what we do here, brother. They know what we do here.
Yeah. So he. You know, they start show him going to the facility. You know, this is modern. This shit is ultra modern. It's based in the near future. So, you know, you might still have like shit like an Apple Watch looking thing, but then all your shit just pop up in the air. You know what I'm saying? You just moving shit in the air, all that type of shit. It's like very Black Mirror. You got a thing on your head where you could, you know, do different shit. So he's at the facility. They, you know, they still trying to convince him. They was like, you know what? You know, we're going to introduce you to, you know, a clone that's already out there. He like, well, how many of them out there? He's like, it's just three right now, you know, or two, and then you're going to be the third. So we're going to introduce you to one, and you can see how it's moving. So he go, he meet the lady. She a real estate agent. She got her daughter with her. They having a good time. They having fun. Woo-woo. So he see that it's actually working, but then they bring him back to the facility where he meet the lady who's actually got cloned. Now, that's where shit get tricky because you know, she's waiting to die. But her clone is out there living her life. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's a mind fuck. You know what I'm saying? Because at first you get to see, you get to look in on the clone. But then after a while, that's a wrap. You know what I'm saying? It's just the clone living your life. Nobody knows. And so that's what Mahershala Ali's character was going through. Like, man, I don't know if I want to go through with this shit. But then, you know, he started to get sicker and all that shit. And then, you know, we find out that his wife, brother, she had a twin brother that died. The lady who played his wife was the lady who played in Moonlight 2. I think she was the mama of the little boy, Naomi Harris.
Naomi Harris.
Yeah. So she's the wife. She did a great job. They had good chemistry. So he's getting sicker. You know what I mean? Her brother had already died and devastated her. She was out the loop for some time because, you know, that really fucked her up. You know what I mean? It was like a schism in their relationship that her brother died and she kind of checked out. And, you know, so now he's sick, but she don't know he's sick. You know what I mean? So he agreed to go through with the shit. And they, you know, they link you up with the motherfucking clone who was your whole shit, your whole DNA. It's like only thing they did differently was they took the genetics out that created the disease that he had, and they left one, they took out one freckle on his hand so that he'll know that it's him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you just look at your hand and you'll see that you got this freckle. But so they download all this nigga memories, subconscious, conscious memories, all that shit into the motherfucking clone. Now they got to double check it and make sure that the clone got it. You know what I mean? And You know what I'm saying? This shit was fucked up for him because it's like, man, nigga, who, you know what I mean? The clone started talking back like, nigga, you know what I'm saying? He like, what the fuck? Nigga, you ain't me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Clone like, nigga, you just mad you ain't me. And shit like that.
You over with, Pop. It's a wrap for you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you just being selfish right now. And they got the tussling and shit up in there. And, So, you know, he having a hard time with this shit. And he had to stay out there for a week to get all that shit done. And then he's supposed to go home, and then the clone going to look in as he's home so he could kind of get all the mannerisms right. And so the nigga go home, but he pass out before he get to the house, before he get in the door, like he in the yard. Nigga pass out in the yard. Lord have mercy. So now they like, man, we can't have this nigga die in front of his wife, then it's all fucked. And so you got the scientists, they want this shit to go through. He like, man, fuck this science, man. I want to go see my people. But they like, man, he had already signed his contract. It's like, at this point, you know what I'm saying, he ain't got no rights no more. Like, right. We got to bring his ass back and send the clone in. But the clone's not ready. Oh, he's ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So then they sent the nigga clone to the house. He having an old good old time with the kids and the family and shit. This nigga in a coma, like, he wake up. And they like, well, they were like, you know, if this nigga don't wake up in 2 weeks, it's a wrap. You know what I mean? But he wake up in like a day or whatever. And they in there watching his whole family. He come in there and they show him what's going on. He like, God damn, this shit crazy. He wanted to just go home one more time at least. You know what I mean? They like, nah, fuck that. Clone. But then it looked like, you know what I'm saying, it got to a point where the clone looked like it wasn't gonna work because the nigga's son.
Abusive.
Yeah, the nigga's son was like not listening and shit, playing the video game. He like, yo, son, put the game up, you know. Da, da, da. The son like, fuck all that. And then, the mama trying to create a diversion, like, you know, just change the subject. But he like, man, put the game up. Son, keep playing that shit. That nigga snatched that shit up, threw that shit across the room. And then the nigga, the real one, he in the motherfucking facility, he like have a nightmare about the shit. Like, damn, something ain't right. Because the clone never seen how he interacted with his family at home. He just only get the memories. He didn't actually see, like, you know, the day-to-day shit. So this nigga breaks out the facility. And now I don't know how the fuck they, I mean, this is where the shit, you got to suspend your whole shit at this point. Because it's like, there's some heavy ass sleeping. His wife is the heaviest sleeping motherfucker in the history of sleeping. I ain't never seen no black woman not wake up on the slightest. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck?
right.
This nigga be doing shit. Be like, his wife ain't wake up. This nigga had a whole seizure, nigga. His wife just slept on through that shit. Nigga passed out, doof, and had a seizure. His wife just, you know what I mean? So this nigga come back to the house, creep in. You know what I'm saying? He go to his little design room because he like an artist and a designer. So he looking at the art that the clone done did. You know what I'm saying? It's good work, but he doing some weird, you know what I'm saying, like some death type shit. He like, damn. He like think he like drawing her brother like falling out the sky because her brother died falling off the side of a cliff or some shit on a motorcycle. Anyway, so the clone, he don't sleep hard. He wake up like, oh shit, what the fuck going on? He come up in there, run up on him like, nigga, what's good? Like, you know what I'm saying? And my man was stuck. He ain't really know what to say. And then the clone was kind of just like, man, listen, go ahead and do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? And get this shit over with. And then he ain't say all that. He just told him to go do what he got to do. Cause he is him. You know what I'm saying? He like, man, go see your people one more time. And then, you know, and that could be that. And so the clone was able to see him actually interact with his family in that moment. And, you know what I'm saying, it was all, I guess, it, you know, it was happy ever after. I don't know. That's when the shit went off. But, you know, the thing what I liked about the movie was that it was beautifully shot. It was shot, but it was directed by the nigga who did the short that won the Oscar called Stutter. He never directed a full-length film. This is his first full-length film. That was a short. And it was beautifully shot, like ambitiously shot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, like it looked like pictures, you know what I'm saying? Big ass wide landscape portrait type shit.
Right.
So, you know, black movies don't really get that treatment a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? And we also don't get those types of movies like Mumblecore where it's just dialogue and the motherfucker is doing like acting like with the dialogue. And Mahershala Ali, he killed that shit because he had to play him. He had to play the clone and you know what I'm saying, and make all that shit work. The nigga had to fight himself. That shit was crazy. But so the nigga did a great job, man. And then, so I was looking it up, you know, after it was over, I just wanted to see what, because, you know, I hadn't heard much about it. I wanted to see what other people thought about it, you know what I'm saying, like a dialogue. So I'm looking at the reviews and woo. And then I realized Mimi Valdez was one of the producers. Shout out to Mimi. You know what I'm saying? You knew that?
Yeah, we talked about this shit on the pod when it came out back in the day. But that's a fire thing.
You saw it
around too. Yeah, I saw that shit. It came out on Apple TV when it first came. I mean, nigga, I said
that. Let me tell this whole solo story, nigga.
That's how you was when I talked about what movie was I just talking about. He's like, I saw it as well. I was like, yeah. Plus, I talked about it. Nah, I forget what movie. This is a couple weeks ago. Black Panther. He was like, I saw it in Black Panther as well. Yeah, nah, nigga, I saw it. I wanted to hear what you thought about that shit. It was cool. It was good
let
shit.
Let me do all this shit.
Nah,
I saw that shit too. I saw that shit, nigga.
It was cool. I enjoyed it. It was cool. It was shot well. It was very well shot. You know what I'm saying? It looked like a Black Apple commercial.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Aquafina was in it. She did her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I enjoyed it.
I feel like a whole complete clown.
Nah, nigga, it's all good. Because we talked, because I remember talking about, I felt like the clone got abusive. When the clone came back, that nigga was a little short-tempered with the wife and the kid and all of that shit.
It was just one scene at the table when the son wasn't listening. Other than that, he played his part. You know what I'm saying?
When was it playing on? Was it on Apple TV or?
Yeah, it's on Apple Plus. Apple Plus.
Okay, because I was about to, I know that's, they put it out. Okay, I was curious if it moved over.
Because the thing is, it's alluded to that he was doing a good job. You know what I'm saying? Because remember, the wife was kind of like, you know, we need to start over fresh. You know what I mean? I know I checked out, da 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 da, but we need to communicate now, right?
Right.
And, you know, the clown was doing a good job with all that. Now, he did get short with that little boy. He ain't know how to be no parent. Now, the clone, because all the memories that they showed us was mostly about him and the wife.
Yeah.
Because remember, when he walked up in that motherfucker, she was like, yeah, somebody's waiting upstairs for you. And he like, who? It's like, damn, nigga missed the whole son.
I got a kid?
Like, nigga, what?
Clone, he wouldn't have taken a job. He was like, oh, I got to raise this. I ain't not a kid. Oh, shit.
Damn, that nigga was like, who? She was like, nigga. Yeah, nigga, like, I'm fucking with you. Mm-hmm. Nah, it was cool. I fuck with that shit.
Yeah, man. Nah, that shit was funny, bro.
I mean, it got some holes and all that shit, but, you know, I appreciate what it was and Mahershala's performance and all that shit. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, nah. Shout out to Mahershala.
It didn't get like, you know, Black Mirror, take it there with your ass. They gonna put you in a real uncomfortable situation and take it all the way to the to what you're feeling. They right. kind of let you off the hook. They you know what I'm saying, they tiptoed across some of that shit.
Yeah, and I'm curious how many people, because when it came out, I don't know. You know, I think Apple Plus is still kind of developing their subscriber base. Like Netflix, if some shit drops on Netflix that's exciting, people will talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, you'll hear about it. I'm trying to think what has been the big thing that was on Apple Plus that people are like, oh, nah, we got to see that. You got to. I mean, besides what, Ted Lasso? Like, I don't know what the big property on Apple Plus is that I could think of. I don't know if you got anything.
The newsroom.
Oh, the morning show. The morning show was good. Yeah, the morning show was good.
I think Ted Lasso's probably
the one that, because that got all the Emmys and everything like that. But, you know, they've done movies and documentaries. You know, they got that Sidney Poitier documentary and some other stuff on there, but I just don't hear. And the thing is, it's not even, I mean, you know, consider it. It's not compared to all the other shit. It's like $5 a month. You know what I'm saying? Whereas Netflix is like $17. You would think more people would be fucking with Apple Plus. But
I think I'm still riding off of the free trial shit, because I just typed the shit in and clicked it. It started playing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's probably what's going on. I'm actually riding off of a free piece too. That's part of the problem too. I think nobody is retaining it. You know what I mean? Unfortunately. But it is what it is. What else is going on, man? What else is good with you? What else is cracking?
Ah, man, shit, I'm good. Back in the A, back to work. You know what I'm saying? Shit, you know. We talked about Memphis last week. Then Gangsta Boo died and shit. You know what I'm saying? One pioneers of Memphis rap with the 3-6 Mafia, her and Lil Chat, and then suddenly to be gone. Like I was telling you, like, I was just looking at her stories on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And then she was gone.
And then you showed me that the last tweet she tweeted was talking about the record you was talking about last week.
Exactly. The B.E.O. Lil wild. Kenny. She was like, Memphis. Yeah. Memphis shit is going hard right now on the low, you know what I'm saying? One of the hardest ones is Lil B.E.O. Lil Kenny. I'm like, God damn, I just said that.
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously she's 43, is very young to pass. It's fortunate though that I know she had her, she did a Drink Champs episode maybe a few months back. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as Nori would say, you know, she got to get her flowers. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, but
that shit was real sad. That shit was real sad.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, shit, before we get out of here, you know what I'm saying? You know, I want to really send up some prayers and, you know what I'm saying, all of those good things for DeMar Hamlin, who, you know what I'm saying, had a medical emergency in the middle of the game last night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was crazy.
You know, it's one of those things, man, that you would think you would see more often as violent as the sport is, but you don't. You know what I'm saying? So when it happened, it's like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, because when you look at the hit, it looked like a regular NFL tackle, you know what I mean? But he did put his, you know what I'm saying? He went straight through his chest. But then when you see him, you know, get up and the way that he fell, it wasn't like he just took a knee and, you know what I mean? He fell, like, you know what I'm saying? Ba-doof, I'm out. And it's crazy because it's like you don't see that. And it's like, oh, shit, you know? And then you can see everybody else react to it. And, you know, and it just illustrates, you know, how dangerous the sport is. But we watch it every week, and it's religion to a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? And where I'm from, football is goddamn, you ain't even a man if you ain't playing football. You know what I'm saying? If you're a kid growing up, it feels like you're not even participating in the manhood process if you ain't playing football, you know? So, you know, Florida, Miami, raising up football players, you know, saying through the generations, and you think about it, it's like, damn, man, you know, are we sending these kids, setting them up for, you know, a dangerous situation? But, you know, week in and week out, you know, we sit down and enjoy this shit as our national pastime, one of them, you know, and. You know, I don't know what could be done or what would be done. You know, they're not going to cancel the whole sport. So I'm not sure what should happen at this point. What you think?
I think it's been interesting this year as far as the NFL goes and player safety goes. You know, there was the other situation with the player Tua.
Yeah, Tua in Miami.
David Tua?
Yeah, Tua.
Yeah. You know, that injury and, you know.
He had a couple. He out again.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, even Concussion, the movie, and just concussions in general, you know, these reports on, you know, and then obviously the CTE that's been going on. It's like this thing that's kind of, it's the elephant in the room that, you know, the NFL is too big to fail at this point, you know, like, and I didn't see it live, but it was, you know, it was trending in the moment, like, immediately people were hitting me and my group chat's going crazy and Twitter and everything. So when I came across it online, like maybe a couple minutes afterward, it was still in the middle of the stop down. And there was a bunch of people, you know, like tweeting at the NFL or cancel the game. And, you know, like you could just like it was one of those moments when it's one of these things. Football is a brutal sport, you know, like if we're going to be all the way real about it. But it's like we kind of, you know, we cast a blind eye to it. Like, you know, like it's kind of one of those things where you just hope nothing crazy happens. But, you know, there is this lingering anxiety that's there. So when this happened and everybody on the field got quiet and they're doing CPR and, you know, it's taking, you know, all of this time is going by, you could just tell how frantic people were kind of reacting that this has always been something that's bubbling over. It's, you know what I mean? It reminds me of like when people are like, you know, my nerves are bad. You know what I'm saying? And then something upset them and they spaz. Like the reaction was, I don't want to say it wasn't warranted because God forbid, you know, this was this guy's in critical condition still, I believe. Yeah. And like, you know, it's like, scary as fuck. Nobody wants to see that happen. I, you know, like that's, but then that, like, that's what, that's like the, it's like the blindfold is just ripped off and you realize what it is, what the stakes are sometimes. And you realize like, people, these people are putting their lives on the line every time that they line up. You know what I'm saying? They go and play that game. Like, this is the worst of what can happen. Mm-hmm. And shit is, it's great. Like, it's sad. It's really sad. I hope my man respond. I hope he bounces back. It's
vitals has came back, but you know,
stable, still, right?
Their vitals are, but you know, he has
are stable. Yeah, his vitals are stable, but he's still in critical. Yeah.
Well, I watched the video. You know what I'm saying? You know, you take these videos and these, you know, pundits with a grain of salt, but it was
I seen a few. Yeah,
it was a doctor, you know what I'm saying, who was trying to explain what could have happened in the cardiac. But he was the first one that called it out as a cardiac arrest. You know, his was like, as it was going on, he like, oh, that was a cardiac arrest. And he was like, you know, for that to happen, he got hit. He was saying, allegedly, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The hit happened at a certain time between, you know what I'm saying, at a certain point in your heartbeat where, you know what I'm saying, that hit happened, that was something like where you could go into cardiac arrest if the hit happens at a certain point in the heartbeat. And that's what he was, you know, theorizing that must have happened. He must have got hit at a point where his heart was doing a certain thing. And in the heartbeat process, that it triggered a cardiac arrest. And I was like, damn, because I didn't even think about a heart attack. You know what I'm saying? But
you just thought he had the wind knocked out of him?
I didn't know what happened, you know, for real. But, you know, you don't go... I didn't go automatically, damn, cardiac arrest? That's crazy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know, we know concussions, but he didn't get hit in the head. You know what I mean? When I died on, but I mean, he was Johnny on the spot with that shit because it was within about 30 minutes. He was already like, yeah, this could be a cardiac arrest. Da, da, da. And that's, and I've been seeing reports that saying it. So he must have been spot on with it. But, you know.
Yeah. I even feel bad for the other player, the one that, you know, was running the ball, like, you know what I mean? Like, who ran into him. Right. Like, how you holding that? You know what I'm saying?
But like, it's like, you know, when you get them hard hits, you know what I'm saying? Most times niggas celebrate that shit. If they hurt somebody real bad, then they feel bad about the shit. But again, this wasn't even one of those types of hits that was super crazy. You know what I'm saying? From the eye test.
Right.
You know, I ain't in the NFL. Niggas do be hitting hard.
Right.
Niggas do be strong and shit.
Yeah, that shit is for real.
But it wasn't, you know how you got them hits that make everybody go, ooh, oh shit.
Helmet fly off.
Yeah, it wasn't that. Yeah. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was almost like a wrap up, throw down tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It didn't look like he caught the bad part of it. But, you know what I'm saying? He probably didn't think he caught the bad part of it. He stood up, you know what I'm saying? Started getting himself together. And then, Lord have mercy.
it's crazy, man. Hopefully, prayers up. Hopefully he recovers, you know. hopefully that all works out. But, you know, this is, it's becoming more and more evident, how brutal the sport is, and it's making people kind of have to confront it. And it's so funny because, like, I think some of the reactions show that people are compartmentalizing, you know, even in the way of, like, I seen Skip Bayless, they went in on him because he put out a tweet that I don't know if it was worded as well as it, you know what I mean? I don't think if you read it, if you don't take a second chance and take a couple passes of it, it might feel very insensitive in the way of, you know, the tweet was, he was kind of going through the logistics of what if happens if they cancel the game, it's a big game, blah, blah, blah. And then at the tail end of the tweet, he was like, you know, it doesn't really matter anyway, or it does something to that effect.
At this point, it don't matter because the guy's hurt. So I think people really overreacted on that shit. Because what he
gonna fuck
he,
with him right
he
now.
Was being cynical about the NFL, you know what I'm saying? Saying that they not gonna cancel this game, being this, you know what I'm saying, in the middle of the season, this important shit, playoffs about to come, like they not gonna do that. You know what I'm saying? He didn't think that they would do that, but he was like, at this point, it don't matter anyway because, you know, the kid is, he didn't say the kid is
right.
You know what I mean? But that's what it felt like it meant. So, you know, I think people, I mean, Skip say some wild shit all the time. I don't agree with a lot of shit he say. But with this one, I don't think he's warranted, you know what I'm saying, what he's getting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, he said the shit he got to, you know what I'm saying, stand up on this shit. You know, he got to do his apology tour like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He ain't apologized to Shannon when he said all that shit about him. You know what I'm saying? So, see, Shannon set the day out. Like, nigga, go ahead. You eat that by yourself, yeah, I saw nigga. That. Mm-hmm. Shit.
Whole lot.
Motherfucker.
It's very performative, too. It's very performative this morning. He's, you know, he's sometimes, you know, like what they behind, he was, you know, First Take, right? Back in the day. And yeah, and it's like, it's such a hot take culture, you know what I mean? Cause, you know, sometimes nobody really trying to hear a lukewarm take or a cold take, a take that we had some time to really sit and think about it. Those are great too, a measured take, but the hot take is typically what gets looked at first. And when you in this Twitter era of everybody live tweeting what's going on, that you want to be one of the pundits of note and the guy that's got something to say about everything, sometimes you pull that trigger too fast and it could backfire. And I think this is one of them situations, although I don't think that his intent was to be malicious or even to be, inhumane. But I think, you know, with that whole Shannon Sharp shit that happened a while ago and, you know, just his legacy of saying some of the worst, not worst, but just some real off-base dumb shit sometimes, there seemed to be like the patience was short for that cat. And like I said, in the midst of people having to confront the brutality of that sport, I think that kind of played a little bit into some of the outrage. I think he kind of got the brunt of people's ire, in my mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? But again, prayers up for DeMar Hamlin. Hopefully he bounces back and, we'll see what's what.
Word up. Man. With that.
I don't know. You got anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
I'm like the rest of the players, man. We might as well go ahead and do it.
Call it. Yeah, just call it. Yeah, all right, there it is. Well, listen, until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Conversation.